Hello and welcome to episode 122 of Ready to Mosh. I'm Kev P, and alongside me is a battle to my jacket. It's Gem G.
Oh, some people won't like that.
Ooh,
it's Echo Chaff.
It's a battle jacket in this house. Anyway, we've managed to get an interview that we've been wanting for a long, long time, and we finally managed to get a date that worked. And this week's episode is an interview with Vicky Hungerford, who's the festival director and kind of head booker at Bloodstock.
Yeah, we wanted to chat to Vicky when we spoke to Adam, and unfortunately she wasn't very well. And yeah, we finally got the date in and it's all done and dusted for you to listen to. So here it is. So today we are joined by Vicky Hungerford, festival director of Bloodstock. How are you doing, Vicky?
I'm all right, thank you very much. Been a very exhausting but good day. So, you know, good things ahead.
My first question actually is, how is Stanley, your new kitten, settling in?
Oh, anyone want a kitten? I actually forgot what having a kitten's like. No, he's amazing. He's settled in brilliantly and he's already far too confident for a 13-week-old kitten.
Oh, I'm loving seeing all the updates on Instagram.
Living up to the name, Stanley, obviously after Stan. So he's living up to the name very well, thank you.
So we've had some really big news today.
Yeah.
There was a new announcement, and we know it's something that's incredibly personal to you as well.
Yeah.
And that is some of Lemmy's ashes are going to be housed at Bloodstock.
Yes.
And there are some other things happening as well. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So we were approached by Motorhead Management a few weeks ago now to basically say that they would like Bloodstock to be one of the homes of Lemmy. As you know, that this has been done at a couple of other European festivals where Lemmy had huge love for. We've got a very personal connection. Not everybody knows this, but my husband worked for Lemmy. So we were good friends with Lemmy and the band. And it was a horrible time when Lemmy passed away for the world, obviously. So to us, this is a huge thing. It's a huge commemorative thing. We do not want this to be morbid. We want this to be a celebration of the absolute godfather of heavy metal and rock and roll. And I was just saying to somebody else that wherever you look at it, he's inspired all the bands that we have on the bill, no doubt, and all the bands that they look up to, no doubt. So it's going to be a great celebration over the weekend. We've got the bomber that will be hung over the arena, which is on, it's like 50 foot wide. It's going to be an amazing thing for people to see. We've got the gallery, which if you've been in the gallery before, we're extending it so that we're doing a recreation of his on-tour dressing room. So there's going to be, you'll be able to see what it was like to be on tour and be Lemmy, like his fruit machine, his personal items, things that you wouldn't ever get to see. The gallery is going to be very Motorhead heavy. We've got bands on the main stage and the Sophie stage that will be doing a maybe the odd Motorhead song in their set, which will be a pretty cool thing to witness. We've got Phil Campbell there. So it's going to be a really big celebration. And we've got a beautiful sort of urn, if you of Lemmy being commissioned at the moment by an amazing artist. And when it's not at Bloodstock, it will be held at Nottingham Rock City. So people can see it throughout the year. And then it will come back to its home of Bloodstock each festival. So we're really, it was an amazing thing. Very emotional. For lots of reasons, but a great thing.
Yeah, well, it sounds absolutely incredible, and the work that must have gone into it.
Yes, it's more emotional to deal with. Al struggled a little bit with it because he was so close to Lem, and you know, talking about his personal possessions and reminiscing about stories. But it's in a great way. It just when you know Lemmy was such an amazing human, there is. No, there's nothing you can say about Lemmy in any negative way, ever. I would never have a bad word said about him. He was such, just an absolute incredible person. So we want to showcase that at Bloodstock because he is part of the festival and he always will be now.
So we're going to talk about this year's festival a little bit later on. So just moving on to some more general stuff then. So obviously the music industry is quite male dominated. Have you ever found it to be a disadvantage being a female when it comes to booking the bands for Bloodstock?
I always say you can only go on your personal experience. So I don't want to speak for other, because I know that it's difficult for a lot of women in the industry. I more struggled in the early days because people didn't know who Bloodstock, who we were. So when I would approach agents back in 2004, they'd never heard of the festival. So they were more sort of, well, who are you and who's your festival? And you'd have to sell the event. Well, we're this heavy metal festival and we're, you know, we're at the indoor and all the rest of it. Not really, but I'm quite a forthright person. I don't know if that, well, you know, that's, it could be my personality just doesn't notice it, if that makes sense, as much, because I'm quite wrongly or rightly sometimes strong-willed. But yes, I'm sure, I know it goes on. I know it can be difficult, but no, it is male dominated. But I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this at Bloodstock. We have a huge female workforce. Adam probably touched upon this maybe, but our production and site people are all women. Our PR company, Cosa Nostra, are all women. So we're sort of, I don't see it as sort of negatively as that, maybe, that there could be more women in place, but I think there's so many women in Bloodstock, maybe I don't notice it so much.
We last saw you, but we didn't actually get a chance to say hello to you, at Derby Alt Fest.
Oh, God, I'm blown eye. That was great. I really enjoyed that. We only came for that night.
Yeah.
But it was great. I'm so sorry if I didn't see you.
Quite all right. We were wanting to have a quick chat with you, but you were kind of swamped by everybody.
No, you should have gone. You should have absolutely, yeah. No, I'm so sorry if I didn't see you.
So were you there to look at possible additions for either this or future festivals?
I always do that. The problem is now, if I go to an event, people go, oh, they're going to get booked. Yes, I always like to scout out some of the talent, and there was lots of amazing talent at that event. So yes, because at the end of the day, like, for example, I'm just picking a band out of the air, like Malevolence.
Yeah.
You can see them when they're baby bands, as I call them, when they're just coming up through the ranks. And then, you know, that's the potential headliner or special guest. So yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that in the early days, it was hard to get people to kind of know about Bloodstock. Has that got easier as the years have gone by when it comes to trying to get bands, or are there still some bands that it's difficult to kind of get on board?
No, not so much now. It had been still up until even maybe, because as the bands get bigger, you always kind of presume that people know your festival, and that's because you work at the festival. So you're like, what do you mean I heard of Bloodstock? I'd get mortally offended. Like, well, hasn't everyone heard of that? Of course they haven't. So with much bigger bands, but then not so much now, but maybe up until about 8 years ago, we'd still get some of the much bigger bands sort of saying, oh, right, okay, and check the festival out, but they hadn't necessarily heard of it themselves. But you always have a miss. I know it sounds awful. You always think of your own festival, people obviously have heard of it, but obviously not. So yeah, but it's much better now. It was actually quite nice with Judas. Obviously, we were trying to book Judas Priest for a long time. And Ian Hill was like, oh yeah, you know, I see your festival all the time. This was before we booked them. And I was like, why haven't you played?
speak to us.
Yeah, speak to us, you know, he lives in Staffordshire. For God.
So is there a band that you wouldn't book, or a kind of style of music associated with metal?
I get asked this so many times, but not really now. See, not the problem with Bloodstock. We started as a power metal festival. I get lynched for this all the time, that Vicky now must hate power metal because there's never power metal on the bill. But that's not the case. The festival's evolved. And I remember, a lot of people don't remember this, but 2012, when we first booked Hatebreed, that was a really out there booking because people hadn't seen that type of band on the bill. You know, we'd never had a sort of hardcore metalcore, more popular band, if you like.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it was always the sort of Blind Guardian, the same real heavy metal bands that we'd had. And not so much now. We're actually, we're in talks with a rap metal band for this year, or potentially for next year. to me, if it's a heavy metal band and it fits and it works, you only have to look at the Bloodstock bill from who we have, from black metal to thrash to, you know, we try and sort of tick the box as much as we can. But the way I look at it, we're a heavy metal festival. So I don't want to pigeonhole us into just only booking X band.
Yeah.
Wrongly or rightly. I always get a backlash for this.
Has there been a band that you've booked that's actually performed better than you expected them to?
Ooh. Not that's been better than I thought they were. I didn't ever thought they'd be bad. Mm. But when we booked Ooh High. They were so good that I knew they were going to be good, but I was really blown away with how good they were. And I was like, oh my God. And that happens quite a lot. So it's not that I thought they'd be bad. It's just they blew me away maybe more than I expected.
That actually leads straight into my next question, because my next question was about those guys.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So they played the main stage last year.
Yeah.
And how did you hear about them, you know, to book a band from Mongolia?
This was Simon. Simon came to me because this is really our bag. And Simon and I have it's hilarious. Like, it doesn't matter what time of day or night it is, there'll be YouTube videos flying between me and Simon on WhatsApp. And we'd been trying to book another similar band, The Who.
Yeah.
And Simon said, you know, I come across these guys just randomly. I need to send it you. And I just listened to it. I said, Simon, just book them. It's absolutely brilliant. So Simon found them and he just said, honestly, they just blew everybody away. They were so good. But that's often how it happens. I mean, I find a lot of bands on TikTok.
Okay.
And a lot of people sometimes frown at, what do you mean you find bands on TikTok? Honestly, I found a band called Enemies Everywhere that's playing for this year. And I was randomly scrolling. I saw this guy and I was like, Lorna Shore levels of vocals.
Okay.
It's like, oh, wow. So, you know, I did a deep dive, as you do when you're on social media. And I was blown away. I was like, this, and I just messaged him. And I said, I just need to book you. I run a festival, you know. And that's a lot of the time how it happens. If we like them, we'll book them.
The Cool High last year. Yeah, it was so bizarre because we were in the press area and we were just finishing one interview and about to start another one. And there was a promoter who was at the festival, and I think they'd approached him and he knows us, so he kind of spoke to us and said, look, these guys have come over here, they've got no press, you know, can you do an interview with them?
But
yeah, absolutely. And they actually did some of the vocals while we were interviewing them.
The throat vocals,
yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's incredible.
Because I was stalking them in the dressing room, I stalked in the dressing rooms, not in a bad way. And I was just like, I even said to them, I said, I just need a picture of you, because I said, I just find you absolutely brilliant. You were so different, so good. You know, the outfits, everything. It was great. But, you know, this is the whole thing about giving these bands, like a lot of people have said, well, why give them a main stage slot? Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
Yeah, give me good reason why they don't deserve a main stage slot.
And has there been a band that were kind of a dream for you to book that actually became a reality?
There's been a few. I'm a big Architects fan. The first time we booked Devin Townsend.
Oh, yeah.
Priest. I remember the first time I booked Devin Townsend. I remember announcing it, and we very rarely get this when we announce a band. We always get somebody that hates it. Guaranteed the internet. And I actually said to my other directors, I said, we've made announced this Devin Townsend the first time around. I said, we've not had one. I've gone through every comment, the hundreds. Not one person moaned. And obviously it's Devin, so
yeah. He's
God tier.
It's next level, isn't it?
It's Devin. So yeah, I've been in a very lucky position to book bands that I love, from Sophie bands up to, you know, and Alice Cooper, for example. I grew up listening to Alice Cooper. So when you're booking Alice Cooper and you're meeting Alice Cooper, I still get as, not starstruck, but I still get as like, wow, butterflies, that I get to sometimes meet the people that I love, you know, musically, that I grew up with. that never goes away, and I never want that feeling to go away. I always want to feel excited. So yeah, that's the nice part of it.
And what do you think is the best performance that you've seen at Bloodstock?
You're coming with the harsh questions now, aren't you? You really are.
Try.
You are coming with the harsh questions. It's really hard because I've seen so many. The sister, amazing performance, full on energy that they brought when they did their final show. There's just been Machine Head in the tent was ridiculous. We've had so many. I often do this thing. Oh, Geeky Joe for me last year. So I'm a massive Geeky Joe fan.
Same. Huge.
Massive, ridiculous. See, because I'm 45, I was 15 when I was getting into Ugly Kid Joe. I've got a picture of me like 15 with my hair all plaited and my Doc Martens on with an Ugly Kid Joe shirt. I showed Whit and I was like, look, Whit, look. And so it took me back to being 15 and I was all giggly on stage and I was like, if 15-year-old me knew that my favourite band I was booking as a grown-up. And it's still that. I mean, like a lot of people, Ugly Kid Joe, they'd be like, oh, I don't really know who they are or care about them. But that's the grunge in me, because my biggest love is grunge, you see. So, yeah, I'd probably, there's so many. I'm a bit spoiled because I go through the years in my head and I'm like, God, there's so many bands I love.
We're very similar. Ugly Kid Joe, for me, were one of the greatest bands of all time when I was growing up. And I'm 46, so I'm in exactly the same boat.
Same age. So the thing is, the joke of it is, I'm grunge, Pearl Jam, like if I met Eddie Vedder, I'd probably pass out. I was a big Nirvana girl, into all my grunge, like Chris Cornell. I still play Chris Cornell now because I'm a massive Audio Slave and Soundgarden fan. So to me, Whit's like God tier, but he knows that. I tell him all the time, it's not the same when you know somebody on a friend level. But he still knows that I think he's one of the greatest performers out there.
And is there anyone still on your wish list that you've not been able to get yet?
Body Count. I see if you ever manage to listen to this. The worst of it is he retweets and tweets and I get smiley faces from the Body Count socials. So they're more than aware. The time schedules just haven't worked because he films. So he only has a small window for doing festivals. So it's either June or it's August, depending. We will get Body Count. I absolutely know. I've tried now for 7 consecutive years.
Ugh.
I'm like a dog with a bone. It will happen.
I've seen Body Count, and Body Count are so good live.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Last time I saw them was Download.
Yeah.
Years ago, 2015 maybe, and I met him and I was chatting to him and I was like, look, I felt like saying you must get this all the time. I was like, I'd run a heavy metal festival. And he was lovely and he was chatting and we had picture and all the rest of it. I was just like, please play.
But have you ever had a band that you'd never invite back?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We've had bands. Oh, yeah. There's probably a couple. Because they were horrible and they did crappy things. And it's rare. I mean, if you think in 20 plus years, it's 2.
Yeah, that's not a bad average, is it?
Not a bad average. And it is very rare, but I'm very principle based. So if someone does something awful, and yeah, but ironically, that one of the said bands has repeatedly said, oh, you know, can we come back? No. No.
But it must be great to go, nah.
No. Yeah, we thought about it for about 14 seconds, and then we decided no.
We're on the quickfire now.
No, we're not. This is scary. I don't know what Adam's answers were now. I wish I'd checked.
Right, so 8 completely random questions, although okay. They're not that random.
I know what you meant.
They're not that random because they're saying that we asked Adam. So.
Okay.
First one, which I think is an easy one, might not be. What are your favourite crisps?
Pickled onion monster munch.
I think that's Adam said that as well.
No, he did not.
I will check. We should have checked. I should have checked the spreadsheet.
Yeah, you need to check the spreadsheet. Your Pokemon and your Monster Punch are amazing.
What was the first gig that you watched?
Ever.
Yeah.
Mm. It was a band, you know, God, I'm going to kill us. Don't want to even say. It was a band called D-Ream.
I remember D-Ream.
Do you remember D-Ream? And they had a song called Things Will Only Get Better.
Yeah.
And I saw them at Derby Assemblies. Oh, God, I feel so old. People are going to go, who? That was the first band I ever saw.
The keyboardist is a famous astrophysicist now, so.
No.
Yeah, it's Professor Brian Cox.
No, it's not.
It is.
No. Was he in D-Ream?
Yeah. D-Ream.
Oh, my God, right. Every day is a school day. I never knew that.
Yeah, he was the keyboardist.
Was he really?
Yeah.
This is great. I'm going to be back this after this.
What would be your death row meal? So it's a starter, main, pudding and a drink.
Starter. Do I have to? Oh, I will have a starter. Because I'll have vegetable spring rolls. I love vegetable spring rolls. My main, it's got to be something with gravy. I'll have a full roast dinner with great, like, everything. And pudding, oh, God. It has to be, like, a hot chocolate cake with custard. Mm. Mm. I mean, that is, then they don't go together. But it doesn't matter, I don't care, because I'll be dead, won't I? So,
yeah.
It's my last meal ever, I might as well.
And what drink would you have with it?
Diet Coke. That's all I'd... Water and Diet Coke, and I know I shouldn't. It's the only two things I drink.
If you were a ghost, who would you haunt?
Oh, these are good. Who would I haunt? Would you haunt somebody you like or somebody you hate?
You could do either.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
You could play pranks on people. You could do anything you liked.
No, I'd haunt, but in a nice way. I'd haunt Eminem.
Okay.
I think it'd be really interesting to know, like, what he's really like. I wouldn't haunt him in a bad way because I love him. So I just haunt him in a bit of a stalky, weirdy way. Like restraining order, but you can't get a restraining order on a ghost kind of way.
What song would be your theme tune?
Oh. Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. It's good. I have to have something positively going in my head like that.
What was the first album you owned?
Oh, it was Bross. I forgot the album was called.
Was it called 18?
It may have been.
I feel like I've just plucked that out of thin air, but I think it might be called 18.
I remember the cover vividly. I was a Brossette, made my dad go and buy the beer bottles with the things on so I could put them on my...
Yeah.
Remember this?
Oh, yeah.
I was showing my age. So I was a Brossette. So, yeah, it was a Bross album. And then Michael Jackson Bad was the same year. I remember that.
What's your favourite pizza topping?
I like pineapple on pizza.
Yeah?
Oh, no.
I've ruined it. You're doing so well, Vicky.
I agree.
Ham and pineapple. I think it's lovely. Mm-hmm. Hawaiian.
And final quickfire question. What was the last song that you listened to?
It was Bring Me the Horizon. What was I listening to? Antivist.
Excellent choice.
I thought so. I'm a Bring Me the Horizon fangirl, so yeah.
Back to the more normal questions then. So what does a typical day at the festival look like for you?
Imagine hell. No, it isn't. It's getting there super early. So we're there for 7:30 in the morning. It's getting the office ready because bands start arriving on site quite early, especially those bands that are playing at like 10:30. So they're getting on site for 8:30, 9:00. So greeting the bands, speaking to their management. My job's artist liaison, looking after the bands, if you like. So I'll be running around backstage, checking everybody's okay, that there's no problems. But then I'll go out into the festival because I love interacting with the fans and seeing what they think good, bad or indifferent. We're not going out there for people to say, oh, the festival's great. We're going out there for an honest, you know, this is shit, that's shit, but we like that. It's manic. It's like it never stops. So then it's a lot of interviews throughout the day because we've got like a, we've seen, we've got like a press tent, press area. So we'll do interviews as well. Normally, Adam and I have stopped arguing and we've got an hour's peace, bless us. And Adam's done this really, I don't know if he told you this, but sometimes in the office, Adam got security to put TV screen in it. So you can, we can actually see the festival from our office on big screens. So we get to stand on stage and we get to see the crowd. It's more for crowd security. We are very guilty sometimes if we're tired of sitting, eating a muffin, watching the festival from a TV screen in the office. Not for long, but you know those moments where you're, you suddenly shut down and you think, I need a boost.
Or yeah.
So yeah, it's a mixture of interviews, interacting with bands, just networking and making sure everybody's happy and having a good time and working.
So with last minute changes like we've had before, such as Halloween.
Yes.
Do you have bands on a retainer for that? Do you, is that kind of like the contingency or is it just a case of that?
Everybody thinks we've got like, I don't know. I mean, because also how would you feel as the backup band? Look, you weren't good enough to be the first choice. You'd potentially be the backup band.
It does happen at other festivals though.
Well, apparently, yeah, but we've never ever done it. So what, I mean, like when the Halloween thing happened, let me just tell you that was hell. And I literally was ringing round agents looking at who's about. And it is a case of you'll go to, say, your five key agents with acts on and say, right, especially those bands that are UK-based, who's about, who's available? And originally, KK Priest was saying, we can't do it. We physically can't get to Bloodstock in time. I was like, you have to. Please. So, no, we don't have a contingency. We just, it is a case of panicking, but methodically panicking. You know, like ducks when they go across, their feet are going, but you're looking really calm at the surface. It's very much like that.
What I do love as well is that there are a lot of bands that get promoted to, you know, an even better position.
Yes. Well, that's the thing as well. I mean, we've had it before where bands, I can't remember who the band was, we had to move. Suicidal Tendencies was supposed to be main stage and it ended up being in the tent. And then we had to put, I can't remember the name of the band, but it was a really small band on main stage and they were terrified. It'll come to me who it was. And they were like, oh, we can't do main stage. I was like, yes, you can, come on. And they killed it. So a lot of the time as well, you're promoting bands that wouldn't get the opportunity. And sometimes it's not ideal because, yes, we've had a cancellation or something. But, you know, it's a great opportunity for bands. We don't sort of say you've got to be a certain size to be on the main stage. If we think you can do it, you can do it.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about, and I think you have been tagged on Facebook a bit about this in the groups, Rockfit. Is there any chance you may be partaking this year? Yeah.
Yes. The only reason I didn't last year is because when Rockfit was on, there'd been a disaster for two, well, not a disaster, but a problem for 2 days. And yeah, so 100%. See, fitness is my thing. I train twice a day every day. So I was trying to get Adam to join in and Adam was going, oh, no, no, no. I said, well, you don't have to wear Lycra. We'll just do it. You can just wear your tracky bottoms. So yes, 100%, me and Elle definitely could partake in Rockfit because it's brilliant. And anything that makes people move more, we want to be more involved with things like Rockfit at the festival because I'm a big advocate for fitness. And I think everyone should just at least walk it each day, even if they can't, you know, go to a gym or whatever. So, yeah, I will be there.
Okay. I'll let Hannah know on the Facebook.
No, that's fine. You can say it's on record now. Yeah. So,
yes, I'll be sharing it.
So new merch items have been released as well.
Yeah.
Do you get involved in that, in the kind of decision-making for that? Very much. Or do you try and stay well away from it?
Oh, God, no. No, I put my big size nines into the merch because I love clothing and merch, and that's my bag. So what will happen with the merch is we've got a guy called Dom who comes to us with like ideas. So I really push for things like the dressing gowns, the brollies, various merch designs that we're releasing this year. Then Dom, who's incredible, comes to us and says, we could do this or we could do that. So, for example, he's like, what about an autograph book? Great idea. Signing temp, you know, a Bloodstock branded autograph book. So I'm very heavily involved with ideas with Dom and Rachel and Adam with regards to the merch. I love it. I love merch stuff.
I must admit, some of the designs are, I mean, you can see I'm wearing last year's t-shirt.
Yeah, I'm wearing, I don't know. Obviously, it's nice because I've got a whole Bloodstock wardrobe, but yeah. And I love, and the thing is, it's evolving as well, because obviously, originally, it was just my dad who would do the Bloodstock design. But as the festival's evolved, you've got to offer more types of designs and more types of merch. So our merch range has massively evolved. I love all that. Like, to me, oh my God, I want slippers, bikini sets. I love it when we do the tracksuits, because the tracksuits with the joggers are amazing. I'm like, can we do like Vans or like sneaker type things? Like, that would be amazing. Some Bloodstock branded. Oh, and they're like, Vicky, stop it. I'm like, no.
I want some board shorts for holidays.
Yeah. No, this is the thing. We get so many people asking for certain things. Like, we get people asking for patches. So we've got these amazing patches about to come out. We've not told anyone, but we're going to be doing jackets and battle jackets this year. And we're going to be doing a full-on Bloodstock potential either denim jacket. So, and I love it. I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And no one knows. Yeah. So this is like an exclusive now.
You are going to bankrupt me.
Why have you told people?
You are going to bankrupt me with all these ideas.
No, I can't help it. I get really excited with merch, as you can see.
So, when it comes to announcing the bands for the following year at the festival, do you still get nervous when you watch the reactions for that, or are you quite confident now that it's going to be good?
I'm not confident at all. What happens is I normally go to front of house so I can see the screen.
Mm.
And then I do get nervous because basically, if you've ever seen us do it live, there's a wave of, yay, ooh, or, you know, and then a roar. So it goes from smaller bands up to the headliners. So you do it in a staggering, obviously, so the headliners end it. So it goes in size order of band. And still, I don't know how the crowd's going to react. I feel like we've made a great decision on a band, but then it's all really down to the crowd, isn't it? So I still get nervous now. I remember when we first started doing it, being at front of house and being terrified of walking back through the crowd in case people were like, why have you bought that band? But everyone's really nice. They just say it on the internet. They don't say it to my face.
Yeah. You're never going to please everyone anyway.
No, exactly. No, exactly.
There's always going to be one at least.
Yes. Well, many. Yeah.
Mm.
So 21 weeks to go today.
Oh, that sounds quick.
Yeah. So when does your kind of countdown and your anticipation and the nerves start?
It's now, because from our point of view now, it's gone crazy already. Because we had a massive spike in tickets, we are so far ahead of where we've ever been in any of the festivals that we've had. We're all crazily busy now. But in my head, I think by the time we get to May, June, and I'm heading to Download, and it's the first sort of rock metal festival that I go to, as soon as Download's out of the way, for me, it's mental. Because you're then on countdown. And then I start getting sick and butterflies and I need a poo all the time. Yeah. But no, so it's kind of starting now, and it always starts to get a bit more manic as well when the weather gets nicer. So if we get a bit of a nice April, everything seems to go bonkers.
A bit of nice weather and everybody goes, I must have a ticket for that now.
Yeah, I must go to a festival, yeah. We're all the same, aren't we?
So aside from the New Blood and Jaeger stages, are there any more announcements for the other stages this year?
No. So we've got the New Blood announcements going out. We've got Jaeger. Simon's got some great bands going on Jaeger. I get really excited. So no, I think we're done on Sophie and Maine. Unless, God forbid I'm saying this, and yeah. If I shouldn't, we're done. My head's already in 25, so we've already got about 7 or 8 bands booked for 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, as everybody knows, we do announcements on the screen. I'm loving the bookings for 25. They're great. But I say that every year, but they are great. I love them. So we're pretty much done apart from Jaeger and the Unsigned.
So with kind of like the announcements that's going to be made later this year, how hard is it not to let slip who you've got coming?
It's very difficult because what happens is I forget that I'm not talking about the current year, because in my head, I can very easily mix up that I've got a band for 25 that's actually, and I'd be like thinking about it in my head. So basically what happens is I'm now mute because I'll otherwise accidentally say something. And often people, obviously, even friends will push me and I won't tell anybody. Bar the inner circle, the directors of the festival, even my immediate friends don't know, because I don't want to put pressure on them that they would know something and then it's another person they might accidentally leak it to. And you have to be careful because some contracts have to be adhered to for the announcement. So it's better just to shut up and say nothing.
It must be so difficult.
It really is. But to me, I'm like, well, I visualize the announcement at the festival and all the work that goes into getting the bands, and then we can announce them. I love that moment where the clock comes down on the screens and then we start announcing the bands and everyone's either cheering. I mean, everyone cheers regardless whether they like it or not. So to me, it's worth it. And I just focus on that and think it's going to be worth it when we get to the festival.
Final question then. So who are you actually hoping to be able to watch at Budstock this year?
Oh, there's so many. Oh, God. Got to watch my boys in Malevolence, of course. I don't like pulling bands out because every time I pull a band out, I get an agent emailing me going, why didn't you mention us? Because that's what happens. I'm going to spend more time in the Unsigned because there's a few bands in the Unsigned, and again, I won't name them, who we're keeping an eye on because they are potentially going to go up to Sophie or even Early Main. So there's a lot happening, and I'm going to spend more time in Sophie than Main as well, because you've got to get that balance. It's like last year, I only managed to see the last half of Biohazard.
Mm.
I was mortified because I couldn't get there in time because something happened. So, and a lot of the time, when I say I'll go and see a band or who I'm looking forward to, I never get to see that band. It's like I've said it, so something will come along like a crisis and that one band that I wanted to go and see won't happen. I actually said to somebody this year, if the fest is on fire, as long as the main stage is all right and I'm watching Ugly Kid Joe, do not bother me. For the entire 50-minute set, leave me alone. Everyone's like, right. So I won't, in case I then get it ruined. But there's I'm going to spend more time on Sophie and more time in the New Blood.
Oh, that is definitely somewhere we spend a lot of time.
And we love the New Blood. We love watching the metal to the masses and brilliant. Then seeing them on
masses. Great. I don't know how the judges, and I say this all the time, there's so much incredible talent.
Mm.
Like somebody asked me a question weeks ago, like, oh, do you think heavy metal's dying out? And I'm like, no.
No, not a chance.
Why would I say that? It's like, no. And you see the talent coming through and it's unbelievable. Like the level of these bands, the Unsigned bands, is just incredible. So there's a lot of exciting bands on New Blood this year.
Yeah, we spent, I can't remember how many nights watching Metal to the Masses last year. And then how many did we interview from the New Blood last year?
I think most of our interviews were New Blood, weren't they?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, but the bands are so... The thing is that this is what I like as well. The fact that we do that a lot, that means so much to the young bands because they don't get the opportunity to be interviewed.
Yeah.
And that's why I do try and say to our press, interview the New Blood bands, because this is... You get that first interview with a band that might be headlining any major festival. You could be saying, you know, we saw that band through the progression. Don't just chat to bands that are signed and huge and all the rest of it. The New Blood, the talent in there is unbelievable.
Yeah, they're all as important as anybody who's playing the main stage.
Totally. And we're as honoured to have the new blood bands that want to play Bloodstock as we are when the headliners play. There's no pecking order in my eyes of, oh, well, that's a well-known band. You've gone through Metal to the Masses. You've got a place at the festival that you've earned. To me, that's as important as a headliner. So, no, New Bloods is the absolute foundation. If you ask my dad will tell you the same, that the entire reason he did The Unsigned was because he wanted to support young bands. So that is the foundation of Bloodstock. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've spoke to bands as well who, for example, Devastator, who were there in 22. We spoke to their lead singer a few weeks ago, didn't we? And he was saying how important Bloodstock was as a stepping stone, and they're now just released their second album and they've got their first European dates. And just wait to see when bands have had that.
It's just awareness, isn't it? Because where else will they get a platform? You know, we are massively against these events that do pay to play. We'd never do that. That is not morally what the festival's about. We're giving you a platform for nothing to showcase your music. There should be no exchange of money. That's not how, in my eyes, it should work. I'm sure there are other events and promoters that think that's okay. You take money from a band that's got no money. It's not, you know, that doesn't sit with me. So this is purely supporting those bands. And honestly, it pays dividends, because trust me, these bands remember that. And, you know, when you go to them in a few years' time and they've signed with a major management company or label, they view you as a promoter and an event in a very nice light, because you were there at the beginning. So yeah, that's an important thing.
Well, Vicky, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute honour to have you on.
My welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure is all ours, and we look forward to seeing you at Bloodstock.
Amazing, and I'll see you there.
So we hope you enjoyed listening to our chat with Vicky. We very much enjoyed having a chat with her. Want to say a big thank you to Kirsten at Cosa Nostra PR for arranging this for us. So standard camping tickets are still available for Bloodstock. So if you are thinking about going, then don't wait around, because as Vicky said, you know, it is selling out very quickly this year. And obviously, you know where to keep up to date with all of the Bloodstock news on their socials, I'm sure. If you want to keep up to date on our socials with everything that we're up to, we're on Instagram, Twitter and Threads at Ready to Mosh Cast. Facebook, TikTok and YouTube at Ready to Mosh. As you may have already heard, we are now on Patreon. So if you are able to join up to that for the bargain price of £3 a month, you can get some extra podcast content, some little behind the scenes snippets and all of that. So go and have a look on there. And obviously another way to support the podcast, which is always very much appreciated, is if you could leave us a review or a 5-star rating on wherever you're listening to us. That would be wonderful. Thank you as always for listening, and we'll be back again soon with another episode. Make it mosh moog.